Usually it's a casual question, though sometimes it does lead to fast deals and high finance. If it's got your full attention, you might phrase that question like this: what's it really worth? I want to use that question as the basis of our discussion this evening. Dictionary.com defines the word worth as good or important enough to justify something. In other words, you might say, well, it would be worth so-and-so. Or having a value of or equal in importance to money. Or importance to a person or for a purpose. Worth is measured in a number of different ways, but there are a couple of major ways that I think have a lot to do with what I'd like for us to think about tonight. Sometimes worth is described or thought of in monetary value. Property, houses, marketable commodities. That's usually the question that someone asks when something is about to go up on the market or when someone contemplates selling something. Someone will always say, what's it worth? This measurement of worth can fluctuate, sometimes drastically, and sometimes even within a very short period of time, and usually in a case like that, depending upon circumstances and economic conditions. For example, in the year 2000, 10 years ago, an ounce of gold was valued somewhere around $300. This year, at the beginning of 2010, 10 years later, an ounce of gold is worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,100 or $1,200. You could go back 5 years ago, and it would be far lower than half the distance between those. And in fact, if you were to look at a chart of the last 2 years, you'd see that it looked like a radical graph. Gold going up and down, sometimes day after day fluctuating wildly, often even depending upon the political news of the day. But today, an ounce of gold worth over $1,000. If your house was appraised at $180,000 5 years ago, 2005, it's more than likely worth only about $140,000 now in today's market. Now, you may notice some inconsistency there. 10 years ago, gold was worth $300 an ounce. Today, it's worth $1,200 an ounce. That's $900. That's triple its value, but four times its value in 10 years. But in the last 5 years, you're telling me that my house has lost $40,000 of its value? Isn't that interesting? That seems so inconsistent, doesn't it? Gold is up, your house is down. What's it really worth? In financial terms, there are a lot of things that have to be considered. The political situation, the economic situation of the nation, yea, indeed, the world sometimes, has everything to do with the worth of something insofar as its monetary value is concerned. And at times like this, it's hard to figure any of it out. But there's another significant meaning of the term worth, or another way that we measure the worth of something. Sometimes worth is based solely on the importance of something to us. It may not be worth much to anybody else. And at the same time, it may be worth a tremendous amount to you. My grandfather's old fishing hat is hanging in my study on the wall, and it's worth a lot to me. It wouldn't bring 50 cents in a yard sale, but its worth to me is great because of the importance of it and what it represents to me. We might consider a family heirloom or a piece of family property passed down through generations to be priceless. Someone might try to buy that thing from us, and we'd sometimes say something like, "Oh, I'd never sell that. I couldn't ever part with that. That's just worth too much to me." But you know what? It's amazing how fast that kind of worth can change. Maybe the person who gave us that priceless family heirloom has recently slighted or even insulted us in some way. And that priceless family heirloom now is nothing more than a piece of junk. Sell it on eBay. In hard times, when bills have to be paid and the income is low, some of those treasured things that were worth so much become assets that have to be liquidated. The passage that I'd like for us to use for our study this evening is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. In that passage, Paul says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things, though, that are not seen are eternal." Now, with all of that in mind, maybe we need to take another look at some things. The stuff that we have, what's it really worth? The things that we really want or would like to have, what are they really worth? What we try so hard to do, what's it really worth? Many of you remember my friend, Brother Jeff Jenkins, minister of the Louisville Church of Christ near Dallas, Texas. Jeff held a meeting for us here in 2006. I enjoy reading Jeff's regular posts on his blog, Thoughts from the Mound. He actually lives in Flower Mound, Texas, and hence the name of his blog. His recent entry was entitled, "What I Don't Want to Do Without." And it struck a special chord with me, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me borrowing some of the points of it to finish this sermon with. In his recent post, Jeff told about an occasion when he had to put his favorite laptop computer in the shop. And thinking about all of the things that it had in it and how important it was to him and that it went, obviously, everywhere he went, he began to wonder if he could bear to be without it for just a few days while it was being fixed. There are a lot of things in my life that I have convinced myself that I'd never be able to do without. But I'm here to tell you it's a good day. Not always a fun day or a comfortable day, but a good day when God helps me to see that I can do without a lot of things that I thought I just couldn't bear to be separated from. And I'd like to think that I'm talking to a group of people who've had some similar experiences. Maybe it's the car or the house. Or the piece of property, or the family heirlooms, even a great job, or neat hobbies, maybe a treasured pastime. There are a lot of things in our lives that we may quickly find out that we can, after all, do without those things, in spite of what we thought. But there are some things in our lives that we ought to hope and pray that we would never have to do without. For the rest of our time this evening, let's take a quick look at what some of them might be. I don't want to ever do without my Lord Jesus Christ. I hope there never comes a day when I cannot or don't want to claim Him as Thomas did in John 20:28, when he said, "My Lord and my God." Because it's Jesus who makes all things possible in my life. Philippians 4:13. It's Jesus who makes all spiritual blessings happen for me. Ephesians 1:3. It's Jesus who is our advocate with the Father. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. It's Jesus who is our reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. In fact, it is Jesus who is our life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. I don't want to ever do without God's Word. What a blessing to be able to have God's communication for us, to hold it in my hands, to sit and read it and ponder it and draw so much from it, to gain all of the benefits that it gives me. Because God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. God's Word makes me sufficient unto every good work. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. God's Word contains the very power to save. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. God's Word is a defensive weapon against the god of this world. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. God's Word is nourishing food for the Spirit in order that I might grow stronger. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It's God's word that gives me faith in Jesus. John 20, verse 31. I don't want to ever do without God's word. I don't want to ever be without my wife and children. As my partner in life, Beth helps me hold it all together. Justin and Jessica and Casey and Carson brighten the days that I'm here on this earth, and they bring me unspeakable joy. What a blessing God gives us in our families. What a treasure we have that so far surpasses anything else that we can hold here on this earth of a physical nature. And yet some people so recklessly put in jeopardy time after time after time with such foolish decisions and disregard. Make sure you recognize what your family is really worth. I don't ever want to do without the church. In more than 40 years of being in God's family, I couldn't begin to quantify the blessings that have come to me through my brothers and sisters in Christ. The joy, the cheer, the encouragement, the strength, the satisfaction, the warmth, the correction, the ability to get up and keep going that is inspired by so many of you. I know very personally a lot of people who have no close relationship with the church, with any group of people such as you and I do, and I know for sure they're missing out on so much. In fact, I don't see how they make it. I don't see how they can keep it together. In times of trouble and hardship, a great source of comfort and encouragement is just absolutely missing out of their lives. There's nowhere they can go to get it if they don't have the church. In times of wavering, the great strength and accountability that people need so often in their lives is just not there if they're not a part of the church. And folks like that, when it's time to grieve, they have to grieve all by themselves, essentially alone. The times of rejoicing are much fewer for folks like that. And when those times come, they never see the real depths of joy because they don't have anybody to share the real joy with. All over this world, with God's people, we are one. Our brothers and sisters are everywhere. We can travel near and far and find family as God's children. What a blessing. What a privilege. What a responsibility. I don't want to contemplate the thought of being without heaven. The idea of an existence that is so far better and so far beyond even the very best experience here on this earth is sometimes really hard to grasp. And yet it's there. with the full assurance of God's word, the absolute dependability of his promise. Heaven will surely be worth it all. And so I guess we're back to the question, what have you really got in your life? And what is it really worth? Hopefully these thoughts will help all of us to nudge things back into the right perspective and into the right order, keeping the first things first and the other things second. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.